Chapter 26. Sleep well, my darling. The next 2 days were much the same. On the fourth day of their stay, Vesper went off early to Royale. A taxi came and fetched her and brought her back. She said she needed some medicine. That night she made a special effort to be gay. She drank a lot, and when they went upstairs, she led him into her bedroom and made passionate love to him. Bond's body responded, but afterwards she cried bitterly into her pillow, and Bond went to his room in grim despair. He could hardly sleep, and in the early hours he heard her door open softly. Some small sounds came from downstairs. He was sure she was in the telephone booth. Very soon he heard her door softly close, and he guessed that again there had been no reply from Paris. This was Saturday. On Sunday the man with the black patch was back again. Bond knew it directly he looked up from his lunch and saw her face. He had told her all that the patron had told him, withholding only the man's statement that he might be back. He had thought it would worry her. He had also telephoned Mathis in Paris and checked on the Peugeot. It had been hired from a respectable firm 2 weeks before. The customer had had a Swiss triptyque. His name was Adolf Gettler. He had given a bank in Zurich as his address. Mathis had got on to the Swiss police. Yes, the bank had an account in this name. It was little used. Herr Gettler was understood to be connected with the watch industry. Inquiries could be pursued if there was a charge against him. Vesper had shrugged her shoulders at the information. This time, when the man appeared, she left her lunch in the middle and went straight up to her room. Bond made up his mind. When he had finished, he followed her. Both her doors were locked, and when he made her let him in, he saw that she had been sitting in the shadows by the window, watching, he presumed. Her face was of cold stone. He led her to the bed and drew her down beside him. They sat stiffly, like people in a railway carriage. "Vesper," he said, holding her cold hands in his. "We can't go on like this. We must finish with it. We are torturing each other, and there is only one way of stopping it. Either you must tell me what all this is about, or we must leave, at once." She said nothing, and her hands were lifeless in his. "My darling," he said, "won't you tell me? Do you know that first morning I was coming back to ask you to marry me? Can't we go back to the beginning again? What is this dreadful nightmare that is killing us?" At first she said nothing. Then a tear rolled slowly down her cheek.
"You mean you would have married me?"
Bond nodded.
"Oh, my God," she said. "My God."
She turned and clutched him, pressing her face against his chest. He held her closely to him. "Tell me, my love," he said. "Tell me what's hurting you." Her sobs became quieter.
"Leave me for a little," she said, and a new note had come into her voice, a note of resignation. "Let me think for a little."